Let's open our Bibles now in the book of Acts, chapter 8. We will read verses 26 through 40. Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. The book of Acts, chapter 8. Beginning verse 26. This is the word of the living God, and he says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, an eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I, unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: 'Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth.' And the eunuch said to Philip, 'About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?' Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, as he passed through the preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea." Amen. Let's pray again and meditate on the scripture. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your scripture. We already read your word. And now we ask for you, through the Holy Spirit, to work among us, helping us to see the greatness of your gospel, the greatness of your word, and help us to put our hearts on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are again in the way through the book of Acts, and it's very good that today we can cover the second part of chapter 8. Since last week we saw Philip proclaiming the gospel in the church in Samaria. We saw there the gospel spreading and many people coming to God. And a lot of new believers came to Christ, and they were already a church of Jesus Christ. Peter and John, two of the apostles, they went to Samaria and they preached the gospel there. And kind of a new Pentecost happened there because the Holy Spirit came to them, and they became filled of the Holy Spirit, and they made many signs and wonders, and the Holy Spirit worked among them. But we also saw Simon, a magician, who were saying to the people of the Samaria that he was someone good and important. And we saw that his faith was not a true faith, a genuine faith. He, by the end of the verses 24 and 25, he showed himself as someone that trusts in many things besides God. And because of all of this, we need to understand here how God is putting these two stories together, the Simon story and the eunuch story, to show us how the true faith and the false faith can work, and how the true faith will bring the believer to God and to Christ. And this is what we will cover today. Philip was in a very good situation now, because he was in the city of Samaria and he was continuing preaching the gospel, and many new believers were coming to God, and he could feel comfortable there, because the gospel was growing, the church was working hard. He was one of the leaders of this church by that moment. The apostles already had gone. And then suddenly an angel of the Lord, and here we need to understand this, that this is different from what we have in the Old Testament. This is not the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ revealed himself in the Old Testament as an angel to speak with the prophets and to teach Israel in many situations. But here, another angel, one that was created by God, came to Philip to say to him what we find in verse 26. "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." And then Luke informs us that this is a desert place. Those words are very similar with the words that God spoke with Elijah in the book of 2 Kings and in the book of 1 Kings. In 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 3, you will find almost the same phrases. Of course, the situation was a little bit different. But we will see that here in this part of the book of Acts, Luke is trying to make some similarities between Philip and the prophet in the past. Of course, all of these has had a purpose for all of these. We saw Stephen being compared with Moses, and now we are seeing Philip being compared with Elijah. We will see that even better when we go further in these texts, and when by verse 39, when he was not there anymore, when the Holy Spirit took him away, this is exactly what happened with Elijah in the book of 2 Kings, when God took him away from many places. So the similarities here are important, because God is showing that he's sending a new prophet, a prophet for the church now, who are giving them the new gospel, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But differently from what many people will expect, this call to rise and go was a specific call to find just one person in the way to Jerusalem to Gaza. This is not a mission trip to preach the gospel for dozens or hundreds of people. This is a mission trip that God was calling his worker, Philip, to preach the gospel to just one person. And we need to understand the greatness of this. Because in verse 27, we will be introduced to the Ethiopian man. We don't know many information about him. But the whole passage here, in contrast with verses 9 to 25, will show us that God will always find the elect. And this is something amazing. Because God could just leave Philip in Samaria and let him work there. And it would be amazing, maybe, if Philip continued his work in that city. Maybe many other believers would come to God through his work. He had the power of the Holy Spirit with him. He was a deacon, but he was also an evangelist. And then God take this man, what it appeared to be the best preacher and the best man in that church to proclaim the gospel and to teach the church, since they were a new church arising there in Samaria. But God chose Philip, the best of the Samaria church, to bring the gospel to one person in a way through Gaza. And that shows us the power of God. First, because God is telling the church that they don't need the people that they think they need to do their work. Sometimes we focus a lot in people, and we think that we need someone, we need a specific person, or we need this preacher, or this pastor, or this person, and he will be able to help us, because with him guiding us and helping us, everything will go well. But the scripture is telling us that what is important is the work of God in his church. It doesn't matter the person. Which is important is the work of God. The church in Samaria continue to grow without Philip. They continue to bring people to God. They continue to spread the gospel. And by the second century, almost every church in the region was already prepared, because they had a church of God in their cities. So those who received the gospel from Philip in Samaria, they became missionaries, evangelists. They spread the gospel everywhere. And that happened without their guide, the master Philip. Philip was not there anymore. And he went to a desert place, to a way that guides to Egypt. It was a way who was going to Egypt, and then we realized that an Ethiopian man was in a chariot in that way coming back to Egypt. And then we need to ask ourselves about this man, and we have many important information in verse 27. First, he was an Ethiopian, which means that he was he came from Africa. So in many situations we saw people saying that the gospel is something for a white church. Is something they say those crazy things today, right? But here in the beginning of the church, the second missionary of the church, which is Philip, was already sent to preach the gospel to a man from Africa. And it's very interesting because in the second century, when the church sent missionaries to Africa, they found churches of Jesus Christ there. We don't know if it was this man. Of course, we are not able to know how God make his work in Ethiopia and in Africa, but probably could it be this Ethiopian man who came back with his faith in Jesus Christ, and he teach the church there where Jews who were attending there in a synagogue or something like that, and they build a church, they spread the gospel, and in the second century already had a lot of Christians in Africa and especially in Ethiopia. So God was doing his work. And this man was also a eunuch. And we need to understand what that means. An eunuch by that time was not only to inform about what can happen with a person if they castrate the person. It was also a title. So if you are working especially with the royalty, you could receive the title of eunuch. That means that you will not marry, and that means that you will not allow to have children. But it doesn't mean that you will be castrated too. And why we need to understand that? Because it says at the end of this passage that he came to worship in Jerusalem. So we need to understand that this man, he probably had a background, a Jewish background. He went to Jerusalem to worship, probably in the temple or to offer sacrifices. And of course, that is why he was reading the book of the prophet Isaiah, because he had some Jewish background. And something important to the Jewish, it was that you are only allowed to to worship God if your body is completely perfect. Castration specifically was something that the Old Testament rejects, because it's something against the image of God in man. When we do that, we are saying that the body that God gave to his people should be a different body. And that is rejected by the scripture. And the Old Testament says that if someone had a problem like that, he would not be allowed to worship in Jerusalem in the temple. He need to worship out of the temple and out of Jerusalem. That was something to represent the importance of the image of God on us. We have everything that we need, and we were created perfectly. The body is not only a wonderful engineer, I don't know how to say that, but it's so perfect, like everything works in their own function and everything is completely amazing. The brain sent orders to the rest of the body and the body responds immediately. Everything works perfect. And then when we say that we reject any part of the body, we are just saying that we reject what God gave to us. So the image of God is in this body, is in the creation that God made. And for this man, that was important. He was not castrated because probably he worshiped in Jerusalem, and that means that he was a perfect man. And coming back from that way, coming back from this worship, he was returning home, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And it's amazing to see how God is doing everything here perfectly to the preaching of the gospel. We know the prophet Isaiah. We know how wonderful is this book. We know that we have many amazing parts of the prophet Isaiah that could guide us to God and could guide us to worship the name of the Lord. But this man was reading the chapter 53 of the book of Isaiah. I don't know if you remember exactly what chapter 53 says, but the idea is that somehow God put Isaiah, the prophet, before the cross, and that he saw exactly, with all the details he could see, what would happen 600 years after him. So, this prophecy in chapter 53 speaks about everything that happened in Jesus' life and at the cross. The details are amazing. And this man was walking in that place, and he was reading the prophet in that passage. Then Philip received another visit. First, he received an order from an angel. And in verse 29, he received an order for the Holy Spirit. The Spirit said to him, "Go over and join this chariot." He ran and he was by the chariot while the chariot was walking. We need to understand that this is not a chariot with horses. Philip was not receiving the gift of running, to run so fast that he could win and beat two big horses. No, probably were cows or something. The chariot was not so fast, so he could run by the chariot normally and listen to what the eunuch was speaking, because he was reading loudly. And we also need to understand that this man was a healthy man, because at this time it was not everyone who could afford with a book of the scripture, a scroll like the scroll of the prophet Isaiah could be something not affordable for most of the people in all the regions. It was very expensive. A lot of work was expended to make a copy of any book, of any chapter of the scripture. And this man was so healthy that he had the whole book of the prophet Isaiah. And he was reading, and he was coming back home, and he was searching the scripture, because probably he listened many things about what happened in Jerusalem in the last weeks. We need to understand that too. He was in Jerusalem to worship, and he was there maybe for a month or maybe for more time, because the worship, the time of worship, it was not just 1 or 2 hours in a Sunday. It was a long period of time spent to worship the name of their God. So he probably listened about Jesus Christ, a man who were killed by the council of Jerusalem. He probably heard about Stephen being murdered because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now he was in his way back home, trying to understand, trying to identify what God was speaking through the prophet Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit said, go and enter in this chariot, join to this chariot. And the approach of Philip was very interesting, because he asked that man, do you understand what you are reading? It was a simple question. He was not trying to show that he was superior than him. He was not trying to show that he had more knowledge than him. He was just asking, do you understand? You are reading an important passage of the scripture, but if you are not understanding it, it doesn't make sense. Are you understanding? And the Ethiopian man answered, how can I unless someone guides me? And here we have probably the most important verse in all this passage. I know that probably you think that those parts by which we can see like Philip disappearing and coming to other place, or the Holy Spirit speaking to him, or an angel, those extraordinary things sometimes are seems more important for us than simple things. But at this passage, this is the most important verse that we will find. How can I unless someone guides me? This is the main point of all this passage. And I will try to explain you why. We are seeing Philip here. And Philip was sent by an angel. He was sent by the Holy Spirit. But the angel didn't preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit didn't give visions, or he didn't fill the heart of the Ethiopian man. He didn't make anything besides order Philip to go there. And then the Holy Spirit prepared all the things, everything. He was reading Isaiah 53. He was at the right place at the right time. And then he listened this phrase, how can I unless someone guides me? This is the work that God gave to his church. God could send angels to every person in this world. God could send angels, and they could be powerful angels, like Gabriel, with all the light, the perfection of the creation. But God is not using angels to spread the gospel. God could use the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit could go to every mind in this world and preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit could give visions to every person in this world. But that is not happening. Any of those things are happening. And then we find Philip leaving the church, leaving the comfortable situation that he was, going to a desert place, running by side of a chariot. And then he listened the phrase, how can I unless someone guides me? And then everything shows to Philip that this is his call. Okay, God wants to use me. God wants to use you. He will not call his angels to do your job. He will not use his Holy Spirit with visions and powerful signs. He called you to the minister of the gospel. And that is amazing. How can I unless someone guides me? Philip answered perfectly. He went into the chariot. He sat with him. And then we have the passage, and we will come from a moment, but we need to see that Philip, verse 35 says, open his mouth and begin with this scripture. He told him the good news about Jesus. He used the perfect opportunity to preach about his Savior. We will come back to that later. Let's see what the passage of the scripture was saying. Verse 32. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. He was reading the perfect passage for the preaching of the gospel. Look to Jesus. He's the Lamb of God. He is the person who came to this world to receive the penalty of our sins. But it's interesting, because for us, when we look to this passage, and when we read chapter 53 of Isaiah, it's easy to see Jesus there, right? But then, in verse 34, he says, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? It was easy. It's easy for us. But it's not easy for those who are not Christians, who are not already called by the Holy Spirit. And the Jewish people had three answers for this small passage in chapter 53, verses 7 and 8. The first, it was the own Jewish people, the nation. They would be the suffering servant. They would pay the price, and once they pay the price, God would bless them and save them. This is very important, because the Jewish people, the leaders of the Jewish, the Council of Jerusalem, of the Jewish people, they really believe that they could take their salvation by their work. So this servant that Isaiah speaks, could it be the whole nation of Israel? But also, some masters of the church, of the nation of the Jews, they believed that maybe Isaiah could be this person, because he suffered a lot in his ministry. He was not a prophet called to preach and to see a lot of things happening around him. Isaiah preached many times, and they didn't listen to him in almost any of those times. The same happened with Jeremiah, so this is another possibility. Maybe chapter 53 is speaking about Isaiah or Jeremiah, but of course, they were not thinking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. And then he asked, about whom? I need to understand. We need to see that these men were trying to see God. He was trying to find God. He was really trying in their way to read the scriptures, to use his time to understand. He was willing to serve God, but he was not able to do it alone. And then Philip, he opened his mouth and he preached, beginning in those verses, and he brought everything to the person of Jesus Christ. And then we can see why every preaching of the gospel should Show the person of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because every portion of the Scripture will make us see the greatness of His mercy and the greatness of His power. We are here today because Jesus, He paid the price of our sins and He saved us from our terrible situation. We are saved not because of ourselves, but because of Him. And this is what Philip said to him, to this man, to the eunuch. Look, look to Jesus. He is the fulfillment of everything that Isaiah said in chapter 53 of his book. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Messiah of God. He is the one who paid the price at the cross. And I know that many people in Jerusalem told you to not believe in Him. Told you that He was murdered, that He is not alive. But I, Philip, I'm here to tell you that He rose from the dead. And He not even rose from the dead, but He ascended to heaven. And He is seated by the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And He is the ruler of the world, the Savior of the world. And you need this man. You need to trust Him. You need Jesus Christ. And listening to this preaching, look the response. He looked to his side, and the scripture says that some water came in their way, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water." Verse 37, "What prevents me from being baptized?" This is what the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, now working through the preaching of the gospel, are doing in the life of this man. He was maybe a Jewish sympathized before, or maybe a Jewish from other parts of the world, but now he was not only trusting Jesus Christ, but he was willing to obey His commandments. Because Jesus said that everyone who trusts on Him should be baptized. So his man said, "Look, here is water. I want to be part of it. I want to obey. I want to be part of this church. I want to be baptized because I trust in Jesus." First, his faith was a truly faith. And his faith now is bringing him to obedience. He trusts in Jesus, and now he wants to obey Jesus. And that is what we have here. I want to be baptized. I trust in Jesus. He is my Savior. I want to be part of this church. Philip, then, he commanded the chariot to stop. And both, they went down and in the water, and Philip baptized the eunuch. And it's very interesting that many preachers will look to this text and they will start to discuss about how baptism should be. Immersion or not? I don't think this is what Luke wants to say here. He's not speaking anything about that. He's just saying, look to the obedience of his heart. He realized what many Christians today are avoiding. He was willing to be part of God's kingdom. I want to be in God's presence. I want to be baptized. I want to be part of it. And today, a lot of people are saying, "Oh, we don't need the church. We don't need the signs. We don't need the sacraments. We don't need anything. We can be Christians walking alone in this world. But that is not true. That is a lie of the devil. Because when we understand who is Jesus Christ, and when we understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, we understand that we should belong to His kingdom. We need to be part of His kingdom. We need to experience everything that includes being a Christian. It's not only baptism. It's the fellowship, the study of the scriptures, praying, and praying more. This is included to the reality of being Christians. The example here is the baptism. But we need to understand what this man was trying to say and what he was trying to show us. God is telling us, trust in God and live with God. Experience everything that you can among the believers. You need to know what is, see the glory of God happening around us. There is a lot of power in God's hands, and we need to see His work around us. And then they came up, and when they came back, the scripture says in verse 39 that the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. He just disappeared. And then we should think about discipleship. Who made that with the eunuch in that way? I don't think no one made that. He didn't learn about predestination, about the works of the Holy Spirit, the weapons that we have. He didn't learn about the Gospels, like deep in the Gospels. He just trusted in Jesus. He recognized Jesus in the scripture of the Old Testament. He received the good news of the Gospel from Philip. And then God sent this man to his region. And he was already prepared. He was baptized. And I believe that once he was in Ethiopia, he became the leader of a church there. And being baptized and being the minister of the gospel there, he probably baptized many others. Probably he became the preacher and the pastor of the church of Ethiopia. But he was just a guy, in a way that one day we will find on heaven. That is how God is working here. And then we look to Philip again in verse 40. He found himself. How that happened? No one knows. Even Philip knows. He just found himself at Azotus. It's a Philistine city. And he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. So now Philip was called to preach the gospel among the Philistines. Those who were enemies of God in the Old Testament, those who fought against many of the Jewish people, of the Israelites in the past, and he was called to preach the gospel in all the cities that belongs to these people. Here we can see what God is doing. First in Jerusalem, then in Judea and Samaria, and then everywhere in the world. Can you see that God is teaching us the fulfillment of His promises? He's doing His job, but He's doing His job using His church. We are part of His job, of His work in this world. So let's conclude, and we will just apply those things for us today, and then we will be ready to come back home. First, we need to see that you and me, we are responsible to do the work of an evangelist. I know that this is coming almost every week that I am preaching the book of Acts. And I can't say that this is because I want to say that. It's just something that flows from the scripture. God is telling us that in the book of Acts, in the church, the first church, the most important job of the church, of course, is praise God and glorify His name, but also preach the gospel. Be an evangelist. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you are important or not. It doesn't matter if you made 4 years of theology or not. The only thing it matters is they are obeying the Lord. God called us to preach. And He will not use other creatures to do that. He called His church, you and me. So we need to deal with that. Because we need to realize, looking to the book of Acts, that this is extremely important. How many times God already took you from the exactly time, with the exactly person, and you only need to say the right words to them, and they would listen the voice of the Word of God and the voice of the Spirit. If you don't know, it's because you are wasting your opportunities. Because those things are happening every day in our lives. God already prepared every moment of our lives. Many situations, for example, shopping in a supermarket, you can think that it's just shopping. But God could bring you to exact time, in the exact moment, and you should only say the exact word, and that person would want to learn about Jesus. But we are not thinking about being Christians in a supermarket, right? We are just willing to make our shop fast and come back home fast. Because we don't have time to waste. And I'm using, of course, those things as examples. But how many times you lost your opportunity? It doesn't matter by the end, because if the person is a believer, is an elect of God, God will call them. But you miss the opportunity to being used by God. And I don't know if you know what it means to see someone coming to Christ. I already have 2 children, and they say that this is the best moment in the human life. When you see the first cry of the baby, it's amazing, right? When they come out and you see their faces and everyone cries and it's so good, you have a newborn at home, it's good, it's very good. But that is not comparable with a new life of someone who was in their sins, was harassed by the evil of in their lives, where slaves of Satan and of their sins, and they just come to Christ. There is nothing who can express that. It fills our hearts with joy. Everything in their past just disappeared. They realize that Jesus is their Savior. And they don't know what to do. They cry, they enjoy, they stay happy, they rejoice. And that is something amazing, something that we cannot describe. And you need to see the power of your Lord. When your Lord brings people from dust to His kingdom, it's something amazing. And then you see the power of the gospel. And this is something that every believer should see by their own eyes. And we also need to see that though this text is speaking about the strategy of God, we are not allowed to question how God makes His work. But it doesn't seem that God is doing a good thing when He takes the leader of the church of Samaria and bring him to the way to a desert place there. But we need to understand that God thinks completely different from us. By the chapter 13, God will call Paul. That time he would be called Saul yet. After that he will be Paul. And Timothy to preach the gospel in their first mission trip. I just made a mistake with the name. He called Barnabas and Saul. They were probably the leaders of the church of Ephesus. They were guiding the church. They were preaching the gospel. They were the best guys at that church. And God, through the Holy Spirit, there He will say, "Look, I want your best. Just give it to me. I want them preaching the gospel in other places." Oh God, but what about our church? What will happen with us? And God will just say, "My Spirit is here. I will raise new leaders. I will raise new preachers. I am doing my work among you. So just do your job. Just do your job." And this is the main point of everything here. And I will finalize with just this application. Just do what you are called to do. Sometimes we think about many things when we look to the scripture. But those things are just bringing us far from what God wants to make on us. What we need to do when we look to the scripture is obey. Just listen His voice and obey. It doesn't seem hard. But of course it's hard because it involves your own nature. It involves your time, your body, your possessions. But we need to understand what is more important in this word: obey God or live our lives for ourselves. About this, God is saying, "Obey, obey my word. I already told you, make disciples everywhere. Preach the gospel everywhere." Paul says in 2 Timothy, "Preach the gospel in time and out of time." It doesn't matter, just obey. We are not here to find good friends in this world and to enjoy life. We are here to obey. You will enjoy a good life, believe me, in heaven. There you will find great rivers. You will find great food. You will find the blessings of the Lord, and you will see the Savior seated in his throne, and nothing is compared to his greatness. But here we are called to obey. Being the church of the New Testament, we should look to God and obey his commandments. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for what you made with Philip in that way to Gaza and in the life of this Ethiopian man. And we pray, Lord, that you can do the same with us. May God, we will be used by your hands to bring your gospel to those who are living around us and who are in the way that you already prepare for us. Give us the words that we need and help us to obey your commandments. Help us to say about our Savior and speak about salvation that we already have and that we enjoy and rejoice every day. And may we will be able to tell for those who are not believers that they have hope in this world. Use your church. Bring us to the perfect moment, to the perfect time by which we are able to preach our gospel.